We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And we're going to be looking about God's faithfulness, experiencing God's faithfulness. And as I picked, these verses came to me this week, I thought about my life, I thought about my children's lives, I thought about some of you, I thought about those that I've seen in ministry over the last 12, 13 years. And I thought about, how does this apply? How is this so true in so many different situations? In this book, Joshua is writing about his life, about how he came to be, how God worked through him in order to bring into example faithfulness. What does that mean to you? What does faithfulness mean to you? Does that mean being loyal to God through no matter what happens? That there's nothing that you would change your mind about your salvation or your service to Him? Does it mean only doing what God tells you to do or what the Bible asks us to do when it suits your purpose? What is faithfulness? I think that's the first question that you need to ask. Well, let's read these verses together. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. And now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, from the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May God bless the reading of His Word. I don't know about you, but this week has had me through so many emotions that I'm worn out. I'm worn out. I've been angry. I've been sad. I've been disappointed. I've been worked up to where we need to, you know, go do this or go do that, or I've done all these things. But these emotions are going to come to us from different times in our life, as it did with Joshua. And so God had to tell us how to deal with that. God had to tell us how we were going to experience and understand that no matter what comes down the pike, that we were going to be able to know that He is our Lord. That He's going to be faithful to us. And the faithfulness that He's talking about is not the intermittent or the one when things are great for Him or the great for you or great for me. It's all the time. God is good. All the time. God is good. I'm not used to saying that by myself. Usually somebody catches in there about midway. But that's God's faithfulness. Do you believe that? Do you believe it?
Amen.
rough. Sometimes life is rough. Discouragement's going to come to us no matter what, and the causes can be many. Most of the time, they're self-inflicted. Most of the time. We've put somebody up on a pedestal. We've decided that something that we want is so important that we're willing to sacrifice God's word. That we're willing to not hear what it is God is telling us. Charles Stanley said this morning as I watched him on TV that, you know, that when you're praying, a lot of times we just keep on praying. Why? Number one, we aren't listening. Or number two, we hear what we don't want to hear. And that's the truth. Experience God's faithfulness. He told Joshua that when you have unrealistic expectations, that when you are in self-centered prayer, when sudden crises such as the death of a loved one or financial crises, when you're lonely, when you aren't going through a time where your spiritual health is where it needs to be, he told him to look to him. The Bible tells us that our emotions don't matter. All that stuff that I felt this week, all the stuff that I'll probably feel over the next several weeks and months, years, that you'll feel, it doesn't matter to God insofar as his plan being accomplished. Your salvation doesn't matter on your emotions. In other words, you can't save yourself. Only God and his truth and his faithfulness can save us. God promised us in verses 3 through 5. He said he will give every place where you set your foot as he promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Abraham was promised a great people. Moses and the Israelites were promised that they were going to have a place of their own. Some of those folks who were alive at the time the promise were made did not get to walk into the promised land. Moses was one of those. Joshua is going to be the one to fulfill God's promise. That he's going to be the one to inherit and to be the one to lead the people. As God stays true to what he promised. His word was present in the beginning. He spoke and the world was created. And he said what? It is good. And then what did we do? And then we decided that we could do better than him, that we wanted to be just like him. And so we decided that we would go and eat the fruit that he told us not to eat of. Why? Because he knew that we couldn't handle it. And I don't know about you, but as you read the rest of that chapter and you see how Adam and Eve responded to the knowledge that they got from that tree, what did they do? They saw shame, didn't they? What's the first emotion that they saw? I'm naked. I've got to cover myself up. This is the same body that God created and said was what? Good. That's the first time in the history of humanity that we disagreed with the Lord. As he said it was good, and they said that it needed to be covered up. You keep on going down through there, and God's word continues to be faithful. He promised Abraham. He promised Moses. He's talking to Joshua now. And we can continue this all along the whole timeline of the Bible until we see God's word show up again in Jesus Christ. He was the Word. And what did we do to Him? What did humanity do to Him? We crucified Him. And we destroyed Him. We did everything we could to take away the power of the cross. Experience God's faithfulness. That's what He's telling Joshua. Believe in Me. I have been faithful to you. And we can fast forward, guys. You know, I watch Netflix. I watch Amazon Prime. And one of the greatest things about that is I can fast forward, right? If things get too slow, I can get to the end. So let me get down here to the end in the book of Revelation. His Word is still the same Word that was back in the book of Genesis. He said that it was good. He said that you and I, He wanted to have a relationship with us. And guess what? In the book of Revelation, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, where are you going to be? You're going to be in community, in fellowship with God. His Word is true. He is faithful to us. And real faith trust what God says in His Word. He said that He would conquer death. He did. We're going to celebrate Easter in a few weeks. Believe it or not, a few weeks. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the fact that God is alive. That Jesus overcame death. But faithfulness requires something from us. God's faithfulness requires something from us. Obedience. You know what else it requires? It requires us to actually talk to Him. How do we talk to Him? How does God tell us that we're supposed to talk to Him? It's right here. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful and obey all the laws My servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You need me to read it again? Do I need to read it again? I needed to read it again this week. That's why God led me here. As I watched all that stuff on TV, as I've listened to the vitriol and all the garbage over the last two decades, as I've myself gotten inflamed into politics and, you know, done crazy things like spend $50,000 to try to become a state senator. How ridiculous. What if I had that $50,000 today? Greta reminds me of that every time I want something nice. She said, well, you can have that, but you decided. Point is, folks, this is not rocket science. And our emotions, they run the gamut, and we have all kinds of problems, yes. But God told us what we need to do in order to experience His faithfulness. He told us to obey His law and to read His book. That's it. And if we don't obey Him, He's not going to bless us. The pains and the struggles and the failures, and, you know, you reap the whirlwind. You reap the whirlwind. You reap what you sow. This is a farming community. This is a place in rural America. We understand that, don't you? If you sow tomatoes, do you grow cucumbers? I guess you don't sow tomatoes, I'm sorry. If you sow corn, do you grow green beans? How about that? That's better. You actually have to plant a plant for tomato, don't you? I used to do that, enough of them, I ought to know better. You get my point. But then we come to another little word that we see here. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now I have that underlined in my Bible and highlighted in three different colors. This Bible I've had since I practiced law. So when I was practicing law, I thought, that's what I got to do, right? Because I want my law practice to be successful. I want things to be successful. Is that the success that God's talking about? No. Maybe, I guess. He could use that as a tool to get you where you need to be. But I wasn't being obedient to God. He wanted me to be a preacher. He wanted me to be out here spreading the gospel. And I was interested in trying to make money. And so my family and my ministry at that moment had some struggles. But I also believe that God uses everything for His benefit. So I also think that all those things that I've been through in my life and that you've been through in your life, all the struggles, the sicknesses, the financial problems, the emotional issues, all those things are things that you can use to make the story of Christ more relevant to people that you're going to come in contact with. You know what I'm talking about. And so verse 8 tells us how success is defined by God. He tells us that it makes us strong and courageous. It makes us more committed Christians. It makes us more committed to understanding and believing the promises that He made to us. Do you believe that you're going to heaven when you die? Those of you that have lost loved ones, do you believe that you're going to see them again when you get to heaven? Or when Jesus returns, if we're still alive? Do you believe that? That's the promise. That's the faithfulness. If you don't believe that, then we've got to work on that. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to be strengthened and have some more courage. The disappointment that we feel and that we felt this week and that Joshua felt in the death of Moses is when we don't get our own way. We don't get our own way. I wish I could tell you that I was there, that I have reached that moment of acuity, that I can, tell you that I'm only here for God, and I am here for God. That's not what I wanted to say. What I'm trying to say is this. I still have human emotions. I'm still a human being. I still want people to like me. I still want all those things that are my foibles, my issues that I have to put before God and ask for His strength to overcome. I want to see our church succeed. But that success may not be in the same way that God has a plan for our church to succeed. I pray that God aligns those two things. Every day I pray that that's what He does, that He keeps me in line, that He keeps you in line. But the fact of the matter is that He tells us to be strong and courageous, to follow His law, not to turn to the right or the left, not to try to deviate it so that it suits our purpose, but it only serves His. His faithfulness is unwavering. He will accomplish His goals. Success is God's. I want to be a part of that. I want to know this faithfulness. I want to see and feel and understand. I want to be in His presence is what I want. How about you? I want Him. I want Him to come back. Some days it's too much, I think, in my head. It's too much. I can't take this. God, I don't have the strength. As Joshua is sitting here thinking, he doesn't have the strength to fill Moses' shoes. You know, one of the funniest pictures I think Greta ever took was Kristen. I wear size 13 shoes, okay? My little girl, Kristen, she had big feet, but I don't think she had that big of feet. But she's trying to walk in my boots. And I just think that is a... I have to find that picture again. But sometimes we don't feel like we can fit in the shoes of the people that come before us, do we? We don't think we have the ability to do what it is God is asking us to do. God, if I give you that last $20 that I've got in the bank, I won't have money to buy my coffee this week. I don't know, that's just one example. God, I don't know if I could move from West Virginia to Pennsylvania. What if those people don't like me up there? God, I don't know if I can figure out how to work the computer in the back, Peg said. Maybe I'll mess it up. God gives us the strength. God gives us the courage. God is faithful. Amen? And no matter what the struggle will be, He will prevail. He knows that we're self-centered. He knows that we have failed. He knows that we don't have the ability to get through these things on His own. And so that's why we can read through the whole Bible from the creation all the way to the resurrection. And what do we see through the whole thing? Jesus, God, His Holy Spirit, His Word, His power, His strength, unity. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to have faith in Him. He wants to have His way in our life. He wants us to be obedient. And so as we prepare and as we sing our invitation hymn, if you haven't accepted Christ and you are hearing my voice today, surrender to Him. The only way you're going to make sense of any of this stuff that's going on in the world today, the only thing you're going to make sense of what's going on in your life, of all the pain, the struggles, is if you yield to Him. If you admit that you don't have the strength to save yourself, if you surrender and obey Him and promise to serve Him, He will be faithful and He will save you. He will come into your life and He will give you the courage and the strength that you need to be successful and prosperous. And in that regard, it means that you're going to have everlasting life. You're going to make it to Resurrection Day. Amen? Let's sing. Have thine own way, Lord.
Why? Christ the Holy.